Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, on a Magic City Monday, indeed. Rob Parker, Chris Broussard, the final hour of the program, and it's only 10-3 Buccaneers over the Giants, and I say only because easily they could have been, the Bucs were in scoring position to put in another touchdown, but they didn't get it. The Giants hold them to a field goal.
And so Tampa Bay just made a, I'm trying to think, okay, what's an interception. Tom Brady just threw an interception.
Right, the Giants have it at the five? About,
yeah, the five-yard line. Yeah. It wasn't Brady's fault. I mean, you hear that a lot, but it bounced right off Mike Evans' chest.
It counts for Brady.
How he, no, it, yeah, you're right. But it was, I don't know how Evans didn't catch that. A little pass in the flats. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
It's first, all right, well,
first and goal at the five, right, for the Giants?
Yep. Could be a tie game in a matter of moments. We'll keep you updated on that. But, Rob, Sunday, another team in the NFC, another great quarterback, elite quarterback. But the team is struggling. And that, of course, is the Seattle Seahawks. And now, Rob, they are 3-7.
Yeah, it don't look pretty, I'm telling you. I can't see them rallying the troops in this season, Chris.
3-7, got beat 23-13 by Arizona with no Kyler Murray or DeAndre Hopkins.
Now, that's a killer. And that was at home, wasn't it? That was in Seattle.
Yes. And Pete Carroll was just a mess after the game. And he went to speak to the media, spoke for 8 minutes, and then said, I'm done, I'm really done, and left. And then my guess, Rob, is somebody got to him. Now, he came back, and he was asked why he came back. He said, well, I got good relationships with you guys. You got to do a job, blah, blah, blah. But I got to think somebody got to him, Rob.
Nah, somebody got to him. Said, you can't do that, Pete. Can't do it.
Exactly. And so he came back and answered questions. But where are you at? You didn't think Seattle would make the playoffs.
No.
I had them in the playoffs. But obviously, that looks like that's not going to come to pass.
Did I think it was going to be this bad? You know what I mean? Even with Russell Wilson being out, you know, I didn't think it would be this bad. But I just, like, all the signs were there. Like, they just haven't been as good. And as time has gone on, they were built on. We remember we were watching their defense, Chris, in 2020, right? Just giving up.
Oh, yeah.
450
yards. And it's the same problem. They can't get off the field.
They can't get off the field. I don't care who your quarterback is or who your head coach is. You can't make stops on third down, get off the field or whatever. It's going to be a long Sunday afternoon every single week.
Yep.
And it's just that time. They had a nice run. They should have had back-to-back Super Bowls, which would have put them in a different bracket from everybody. Wins, Chris. They went back-to-back. They didn't win. They threw, of course, Wilson threw the pick in the end zone to the Patriots, and that was that. And now that I look at where they are, I think it's time for a total rebuild. Like
wow.
They need like, to strip
so what does that
down.
Mean? Like, get rid of Russell Wilson?
I would trade Russell Wilson and get the best deal that I could, because keeping Russell Wilson with the rebuild that you have to do, Chris – It ain't gonna be overnight. They spent money this past year on free agents.
They were 12-4 last year.
I get it. I just think it's getting older and older, and I would strip it down and start over. I just think it's been a long run. How long has Pete Carroll been there?
Well, the run really isn't Carroll.
But he's been there over a decade.
2010 was his first year.
Yeah, it's 11 years in the same spot.
I don't mind getting rid of Pete Carroll. here's my my problem is I'm not trading Russell Wilson.
Okay.
And here's my philosophy. You teams dream about getting a franchise quarterback, right? That's what it's all about, right? You want an Aaron Rodgers, you want a Tom Brady, you want a Russell Wilson. That's why you want the draft picks. Obviously, you got to build around them. But if you, we know in general, if you don't get that elite quarterback, it's going to be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for you to win a Super Bowl. And even if you win a Super Bowl, it's very difficult for you to sustain greatness. Packers with Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre there were always relevant, always in the hunt, even if they didn't win it, even if they only won two Super Bowls. New England with Tom Brady, wherever Peyton Manning was, Denver or Indianapolis. When you've got that guy, you're going to have a decade plus of relevancy. And you'll probably, good chance you win a Super Bowl, if not more. And they got that guy. He'll be 33 at the end of this month. And I am not, Rob, they went the first 36 years of their franchise without getting a franchise quarterback. Remember Jim Zorn? Remember Matt Hasselbeck? Remember Seneca Wallace? Tavarius Jackson? Like, those were their quarterbacks. There's no guarantee they'll get anything close to a Russell Wilson in the next 40 years. No guarantee. They might, but it's rare. Rob, we know teams that have never had a quarterback like that. And so I'm like, I'm not totally against you saying, all right, we got to kind of rebuild this thing. Although I don't think they're so far gone that it needs a total rebuild. I'm fine bringing in a new head coach.
Here's the other problem. Russell Wilson already had a stink last offseason about being involved and all that. So, like, you already went through that with him. And before you get into anything else and have it be ugly or there be a situation, get the most you can. You can do something, and you can look at it and say, well, look at what New England did. They parted with Brady the first year. They scuffled, but they got a quarterback. We might have a chance to get a quarterback and rebuild. And now it looks like the Patriots could be in the playoffs the second year, right? So it ain't impossible.
That's a rarity. It's not impossible.
No, I know, but it's not.
But you know,
impossible.
That's not common.
I'm just saying. That's what I would be looking at. I wouldn't look at them. I would say, we're not the Jets or we're not the Jaguars. We're not that bad, Chris. They don't have anything, those teams. So, and if Pete Carroll decides he wants to stay and stick around, I'm just saying I think there comes a time, and I would
so
rather.
So you would pick Carroll over Wilson?
No, I just think it's time to move Wilson, and I would rather move Wilson a couple years early than a couple years late.
But you would pick Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I would keep Pete Carroll and have him with a rebuild.
No way I would. I mean, I don't mind moving on from Pete Carroll. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame and all that. And that's fine. His legacy is great, and it is what it is. But, Rob, you know this. Pete Carroll was not doing anything before Russell Wilson got there. Now, college, great at USC. But he was a mediocre NFL coach in a few places. All right, the Jets, 1 year with them, 6-10. 3 years with the Patriots. Made the playoffs twice. Never great teams, but, okay. And then Seattle, his first 2 years there, 7-9. He gets Russell Wilson injured. And this is accurate. Russell Wilson fell into his lap because, remember, they got Matt Flynn. That they thought that was going to be their guy.
Yeah, the Lions were the ones who suckered him in. Remember, Matt Flynn set the Packers franchise record, Chris.
Yes.
He threw 5 touchdowns against the Lions in a late season game, and everybody thought, oh, my God, the Packers have another quarterback. And they signed him, and they couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
Yep. And he, like you said, Seattle, he goes there, and Russell Wilson takes over. And so, third-round pick, of course, Wilson. So that's what I'm like. I would keep Wilson. He's better at what he does, in my view, than Pete Carroll is at what he does, especially at this stage. Especially at this stage. And I get it. You're right. Maybe Wilson will raise a stink, Rob.
If he raises,
and maybe it gets ugly, and then you got to do what you got to do.
And then, and then by that point, Chris, you know, like, you're not going to get the same value. Like if I pick up the phone and say, hey, Russell Wilson's available after this season. What? Okay, let's get the best package. If I wait until all hell, you know, breaks loose and he comes out and he's speaking about, see, this is why I wanted some control of player personnel. Look at this year. It was terrible. We didn't do this. We need to do that. Now I got a disgruntled guy on my hands who I'm trying to move. I think the timing is right to make that move.
Look,
now,
if he didn't
have last year, Chris, then it's totally different.
I hope you make, you know, look, I've said, Rob, and you and others have said it's a pipe dream. If I'm Cleveland, I'm trying to get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson if he still can play football. So I would love for Wilson to be on the move. You know, it's exciting when that happens. Even if, I mean, people are talking about him going to the Giants. You know, the Giants aren't the Jets. So, you know, Giants do have a history of being able to put some, obviously, Super Bowl teams
together. Giants have won Super Bowls. Are you kidding?
Right, yes. Right. So maybe he could go there and turn it around. But I wouldn't hate seeing him move. But I'm just saying, philosophically, if I've got a franchise quarterback, I'm keeping him until deep into his 30s, at least. At least. Like, because you just don't know when you're going to get the next one. And you might not ever get the next one. So, you know, Seattle was an also, you know, afterthought for the most part. I mean, they had some years here and there.
I get it, and that's true.
You know?
You don't know, but sometimes I think you just don't want to hold on to somebody too long. And because of him being disgruntled last offseason, Chris, that's the part that I'm trying to avoid having that happen. And you would admit, if I made calls now, let people know that he would be available, he possibly could be available at the end of the year, don't tell me I wouldn't get a sweetheart deal.
Oh, no, you would. And there's a school of thought of, look, he was upset last year. Let's move him before he moves us.
Before he's mad again.
Right.
This year,
right,
when they finish 5-12 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. That's my philosophy, but we'll see. We'll see what they do. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Should the Seahawks, guys, consider trading Russell Wilson in the offseason? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple live from the Fox Sports Radio studios on a Magic City Monday. And if you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back that you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Should the Seattle Seahawks trade their franchise quarterback, Russell Wilson, this offseason?
All right, let's kick it off with Drew in New Jersey. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What up, Drew?
Hey, guys, I think it's crazy you guys want to get rid of, not you, but I think Rob wants to get rid of Russell Wilson. I don't remember you being that in on getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, who's like 5 years older during the offseason. That's why I'm a little confused.
No.
I think the production's around the same.
No, the difference is I'm just looking at it from their standpoint on where that team is going. Aaron Rodgers, they knew if they took him off that team, that team would immediately, and they still have running backs, they've drafted defensive players. They're set up to win. Seattle's not set up to win. That's the difference.
Yeah, and also, I got one more thing, though. You say that Russell Wilson with all these moods, like, hey, he's in and out. Isn't Aaron Rodgers in and out every offseason as well? I mean, I think I look
last
at that.
Last year was the first year. I don't remember him being in and out. That was Brett Favre.
Rob, what's your thoughts on Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan constantly doing like that shotgun GM and coaching on ESPN, especially with the Rob Saleh stuff?
Yeah, I think
but they both worked for the Jets.
Yeah,
right?
But it looks bad. It looks bad to pile on the guy like as if they won something. And I get it. Rex Ryan went to two AFC championship games, but let him get his moment. You know what I mean, Chris? If he fails, he fails. But I think they're a little heavy handed. You?
It comes off looking bad because it looks personal. We all know you were with the Jets, and it just doesn't look good at all.
It doesn't look good. It sounds like sour grapes. That's what it is.
Hey, exactly.
Here's Sean in Sacramento. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What up, Sean?
My uncle's from another mother. My brother's behind the boy. Hey, Rob, I'm still picking out chunks of chicken out my teeth, man. Appreciate the meal in the Sean in Sacramento household, brother.
I'm jealous, man. Hey. I wish I had been there.
Chris, we going to have to get you out of here before California falls to the Pacific Ocean, big bro. Man, you're
going
to have to come out here, catch a game. We're going to take it easy on the refreshment so we don't end up like the bro in the front row of the Kings game yakking everything up in the fourth quarter.
That's right. So, hey, that fam was trying to tell the Kings to leave everything out on the floor. You know what I mean? Every game.
Right. You are the angel of death, man. As soon as you visit anybody's city, they coach gets fired. But like I told you during dinner, man, it was a long time coming. Luka's done a horrible job. He didn't deserve the job in the first place after stinking it up with the Lakers, so I'm glad.
They never should have fired Michael Malone.
Yep.
Right.
Period.
No, you're right. And Sean, we did have a little libation there for lunch as well.
Hey, it was litty. Chris, let me tell you, man, Rob is being real humble. As soon as he stepped in the building, one of my cousins happened to be in the same restaurant. She made her way over and introduced herself. Then the two fellas at her table, as soon as Rob got up to use the bathroom, they were shaking his hand. Oh, I'm from Michigan. I know so much about you. Is it Rob Parker in Sacramento? God. Oh, my God.
Rob Parker. Sean, I don't want to burst your bubble, but those were plants.
No, they were not plants. Look at that.
He wanted to impress you. He wanted to impress you.
No. Hey, Sean.
I thought something was up when they were wearing 40-cut smocks, man. That's something was definitely up.
And it was a great time, Sean. It really was. It was great to meet you.
It was real
good. And for a lot of people who have heard your voice for the last 3.5 years or whatever we've been on, they're like, it's good to put a face with a voice. So that's what it was. So it was
Wow. What I tell you, though, man, the very first thing they go comment is, I thought Sean was a brother. Who is he cutting all these pictures, man?
I was shocked. I ain't going to lie.
What?
I was shocked. I was like, what? That's Sean? Wow. sound definitely. Like a brother, man. Just keeping it real.
Yeah.
Hey, like I told Rob, man, that's not a black accent. That's a hood accent. So where's that racist button at, Alex? We should have dropped
racist.
That when everybody was talking
there
about
we go.
I thought Sean was black.
Yeah. All good. All right, real quick, Russell Wilson, yay or nay? You keeping him?
I'm keeping it, man. Like Chris said, and Rob, I wanted to ride with you so hard after you treated me to that delicious meal. You can't let go of these benchmark quarterbacks.
See, Chris,
man.
I did pay. Go ahead, Sean.
it's the very first franchise quarterback Seattle has ever had. I don't care what you're talking about with all these old-timers. The very first one, he brought them their very first title. And I think the biggest change that needs to be made is this coaching staff. Man, how many more years are we going to give this 70-year-old man? He needs to retire. We need to go ahead and make this a new revolutionary offense like Russ has been asking for and let the man cook.
I totally agree.
That's fair.
I totally agree.
I'm trying to refill my cupboards, and a quarterback of his caliber can get me that. Desmond in South Carolina, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Desmond?
What's up, Rob? What's up, Chris? How y'all doing?
Good, brother.
Doing good. How are you?
Good. I can't complain. But with the Russell Wilson situation, he was already having speculations before the season even started that he was interested in other teams. So my thing is, don't let them go without getting nothing in return. And to have an analogy, like the James Harden situation with the Houston Rockets, where They ain't getting up.
Well,
to
he can't
third.
Go. He can't go anywhere right now. I mean,
right. But if he makes it stink, and they know, like the rest of the teams, right, Chris? Like they right. know he don't want to be there. Your value ain't gonna be the same, and that's just my point.
Right.
So if you're Seattle and go, all right, what are you doing? Are you cool? We gonna go forward here? And he's like, nah, I'm not cool. Then it'd be like, can you keep it on the low?
Right, I think he would play. Right? I think he would work with them if they agreed to it privately.
That's what I mean. Like, no, make it because as soon as you open your mouth or leak this to somebody, it's going to kill our trade value for you. And we're trying to accommodate you, but we're not trying to get fleeced.
All right, Rob.
And if we're going to get fleeced, we're not doing it.
Right, we got Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback, coming up. Used to call games for the Seattle Seahawks. So he'll join us next and we'll ask him about this very thing. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest, one of the best ever throw the football, Hall of Fame quarterback, Warren Moon. Warren, welcome to
what's
the Odd
happening?
Couple.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy pre-Thanksgiving. You guys ready to eat?
Oh yeah. You know that. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as
that's
well.
That's right. Hey, Warren, I try to tell Chris is like one of those guys from the – he's from Louisiana. He's all, eating pumpkin pie. I'm like, hey, brother, it's only sweet potato pie,
but I will eat pumpkin pie, too. That, get it right.
All right.
Hey, Chris, aren't you on some special diet now? You don't even eat our kind of food anymore, do you?
No. See,
no,
that's what I'm saying.
I do. I need to stop, but I do.
Yes.
But, Warren, let's go to Seattle. You played for the Seahawks a couple years. I think you still live up there, right? You still live in Seattle?
I do. I'm right in the middle of it.
So it's a beautiful town.
I love Seattle. Beautiful.
We were just talking. Obviously, it's a down year. Obviously, Russell Wilson made some noise after last year when they actually won 12 games. Do you think it's to the point where they need to, like, in the offseason, if they have a bad year, you know, say they win, I don't know, 6 games this year, that they should move on from Russell? My opinion is I would not trade a franchise quarterback who's still in his prime.
And I'm saying
I would move on from Pete Carroll if I had to.
Yeah, unless you're really talking about starting all over again, you better know who your next quarterback is going to be if you're going to get rid of a all-pro quarterback like Russell Wilson, a guy who's been established in this franchise since he came in the league. So everybody always talks about getting rid of guys, but who are you going to replace that guy with? That's going to be the big question. Now, if they want to start all over and maybe draft a guy that's in the draft to start their organization over with, maybe that's the way you go about it, but if that's not the way you're going to go, you better be careful about who you trade him away to, or if you are thinking about getting rid of him, what the replacement is going to be, because he's still a top quality quarterback, no question about it.
Warren, no doubt about it, but I'm looking at it from this standpoint. He made a lot of noise last offseason. He wasn't happy with player personnel and decisions and whatnot. Then you have this really bad year, and you know, this is, if you're going to do it, it's probably here where you can get a haul for him, right? While he's still viable and valuable to somebody. And then you get some draft picks and some other stuff. And then you can restart the organization. Because what the organization was, to me, is over. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs this year, and it looks like I was going to be right on this. So that's why I'm saying if you're ever going to do it, this might be the year to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're probably right, because they've had a really good run with Russell, and normally when a guy stays in one place this long, he usually doesn't finish his career with that same organization. There's been some, you know, some guys who have done that, like Aaron Rodgers is still with Green Bay after 17 years, and there's been others. But even Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady, he plays 20 years one place, and then he has to move on. So it's just something that happens with the business of football. And Russell, I think, accounts for like 17% of their cap with his salary, along with, you know, Bobby Wagner, who makes a ton of money, and Jamal Adams, who just signed a big deal. So they have a very cap-heavy roster, and they probably need to get rid of some of that in order to bring in some new fresh talent to make this team a lot better, because I think they're really handicapped because of that, and just can't bring in the type of players that they need to make this a very competitive football team.
Do you think that's what it boils down to, is they don't have the personnel? I mean, again, this same team essentially was 12-4 a year ago.
Well, there's a lot of difference to this team. The corners are new. They don't have very good corners right now. That's part of the weakness of their defense. Chris Carson has not been on the field but maybe three games this year, and he was their bell cow running back. They don't have that. And in this offense with Pete Carroll, who likes to be more balanced than most teams, they have to have a runner like they had for Marshawn Lynch for about 6 years. They haven't had that consistency at the running back position yet, and that hand-strucks Russell as far as, you know, being able to play-action pass, because if nobody cares about the run and there's not a threat there, then those play-action passes aren't going to work down the field. So they do need some talent. I think they still are a piece or two away on the offensive line to make that a lot stronger as well.
We saw yesterday the Dallas Cowboys' Dak Prescott had a bad day at the office, but he struggles against the better teams. And we looked at some numbers, and Warren, he's 13-20 against teams that finish over 500. He was 2-9 2 years ago. Of course, last year he was hurt, and this year he's 2-2. It just seems like everything has to be right for him to win those kind of games. Whereas when you look at some elite quarterbacks, sometimes when you don't have everything, you still can get a win or still put your team across. I looked at that game as like could have been a good statement game for Dallas. They've piled up a lot of wins against some also-rans. What do you look, when you look at Dak Prescott, has he reached elite status to you, or still climbing there, or no? Where are you on him?
Yeah, I think he's still climbing there, because like you said, Rob, you've got to be able to beat the good teams if you're going to be considered an elite quarterback, and he hasn't done that on a consistent basis. And he did have some pieces missing yesterday. His left tackle, Tyron Smith. He had I think Amari Cooper was not playing yesterday. And then his young receiver gets hurt early in the football game. Yeah, Lamb. So you wonder if he can do it by himself, if he can just carry a football team by himself. And right now he hasn't shown that he can. So I think he's still climbing to that stage. But he does show that he has elite-type talent. It's just a matter of getting it done against the better football teams in the league on a consistent basis.
Warren, what do you think about the Rams and Matt Stafford? When he came there, they made the trade for him. You know, everybody was talking like, he's going to be the MVP. He's going to lead them to the Super Bowl and all that. And they, you know, they're obviously having a good season, but the last few games they've had struggles. Are you as high on him as a lot of people are and thinking he can be the guy to lead them to the promised land?
You know, I was early in the year, but it looks like he's going back into the same habits he had in Detroit. He has some really, really good games, and then he has some games that really make you scratch your head, and that's going to be his Achilles heel going forward. Can he be the guy that plays consistently all the way down the stretch? Because they're going to need that out of your quarterback going down these last six, seven games of the season. And that's where we have to see where Matt Stafford is going to be better than he was in Detroit with a better roster here in Los Angeles. Can he be that quarterback that they wanted him to be when they brought him there? Because right now they're about the same as they were with Jared Goff last year at this point in the season. So you want to see him elevate this football team, and hopefully he can do that. Or they gave up a lot to really get nothing.
Yeah, and Warren, being in Detroit for 20 years, covering every Lions game for 20 years, I watched Matt Stafford from his very first game ever, And the talk and all that, I'd seen the guy. And that's why, you know, he had the nickname in Detroit, Stat Padford, because a lot of those stats would come, you know, after the games were decided.
Right.
And the numbers would look good, and you go, this guy got Hall of Fame numbers, you know what I mean? But they didn't beat anybody. And that's right. really going to be the key here, because you're right. If you look at the year that they went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, it ain't – Matt hasn't changed anything for that team. And think about that. So that's a big part of the Rams. I'm still – I'll believe it when I see it. I'm saying the Rams aren't going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when you bring in two high-profile guys like they brought in with Von Miller and also Beckham, you take the chance of messing up the chemistry of a football team too at this stage of the season. How will those guys mesh into what's going on? And especially with Beckham, a guy who wants to get the football, I think the thing that helps in this situation is Robert Woods got hurt, unfortunately, but that steps up Beckham as far as being able to get more targets and make him happier. So that'll keep him happy in the locker room. But again, chemistry is very important when you get down to this part of the season. How well your team is playing together, and they're bringing in two high-profile guys, and you just hope that all works out.
Warren, what do you see going on with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City? Like, it seems to me like he's learning, even though he wants to always throw the deep ball and, you know, make these big plays, he's learning to throw more underneath and take what the defense gives him. What do you see going on with him, and is this kind of a good period of growth for him?
Yeah, I think he kind of reverted back to what was going on with him in college. You know, when he was at Texas Tech, I watched him a lot there because I knew how talented he was, and I tend to, you know, follow quarterbacks that I think have a lot of talent. But he was on a football team that wasn't very good, and he always had to do it himself and try and make all these spectacular plays because they were always behind in football games. And it's almost like he reverted back to that this year when teams started playing him in those two high you know, umbrella looks in the secondary. Right. He was still going to try and make those type of plays even though they weren't there. So I think he's learning over the last 2 or 3 weeks to be a little bit more patient. I think one of the things that Andy Reid can do is help him with play calling. They can run the football a little bit more. I think having Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the lineup is going to help them. They ran it a little bit better yesterday, because if teams are going to play you too high like that, you've got to punish them with the running game as well, not just short passes, but running the football too. Eventually, they're going to bring that safety down. If you're hurting them with the running game, that's when Patrick can take his big strikes down the field. But patience is a big thing, and if you haven't been a patient quarterback all of your life, it's hard to all of a sudden try and do it now. But I think he's learning that as he goes along.
All right. Warren Moon, the Hall of Famer. Thanks a lot for the knowledge, brother.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, same to you guys. And you know, keep the Alka-Seltzer close by because you might need it. I know how much you like to eat, Rob.
You know, hey, Warren, I'm always eating. You know it. I can't wait.
All right, you guys have a great holidays.
All right, you too. Yep. Baker Mayfield started a fight he can't win. We'll get into that next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You got to have the bones. You got to have the structure.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Magic City Monday. We are wrapping it up with you. All right, Rob, let's go to Cleveland. And you talked about Seattle having a down year. Cleveland is not a down year, but it's lower than they expected. A lot of people expected them to challenge for the AFC title. They still may yet. They're very much alive.
People were picking them
in
for the
playoffs.
They said they had a Super Bowl roster, Chris. I mean,
they do.
Talk.
I think. I picked them to get to the AFC title game against Kansas City and lose. And they may. I mean, you know, like we said earlier, nobody's trying to run away with the AFC, it seems. But they're 6-5 right now on the outside looking in.
Right.
A 13-5 victory over Detroit. Very uninspiring
13,
at home.
13-10, right?
I'm sorry, 13-10. Right. And Jared Goff wasn't even playing.
Right.
It was somebody named Tim Boyle.
who had 77 passing yards. And you beat them 13-10?
Right. It's bad right now. And Baker Mayfield, obviously, He is the one with the bullseye on his chest that everybody's looking at. And he had one of the worst games of his career, two interceptions, did throw one touchdown, threw 476 yards, completed like 15 to 29 passes. But Rob, after the game, he got booed during the game. And especially he got booed lustily after his second interception. After the game, he leaves the field in a huff, doesn't celebrate with his teammates, doesn't acknowledge the opponents. Then after the game, doesn't speak to the media for the first time in his four-year career. And then his wife goes on Instagram and reposts a take by some fan that praised Baker's toughness while criticizing his teammates, saying they need to learn some toughness from him. And then she takes it down after a while and then goes on Twitter and is like, I love all the players. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, they're all tough and this and that. And so it's been a rough couple of days for Baker. He is playing through a lot of injuries, but still, once you're out there, there's no excuses. And he spoke today, Rob, and I don't think he helped himself with a few of his comments. Here he is.
Baker, what did you make of some of the booing there in the second half from the fans?
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate. So don't really care.
I don't think that's going to help him in Cleveland, Rob.
I don't, Chris. I've been doing this for 35 years. How many of you been doing it? 30-something?
30? Yeah, 30.
Right. 30 years. I've been doing it for 35 years. Do not take on the fans, please. Athletes, hello? Is this on? Chris, it's a losing proposition.
You can't win. You cannot
you
win.
You cannot win. Do not take on the fans. You remember when the Mets were doing a thumbs down to the
yep.
fans? You remember that?
Yep.
How long did that last?
Before a couple they got, days. About a day. They apologized, right?
They apologized and the ownership jumped on them. You can't do it. Leave the fans out of it. Ignore it. What he could have said was the fans pay their money, Chris. They could do whatever they want. End of story.
Right. Or he could have said, look, I didn't play well. I told you guys I played horribly. And when you play like that, your fans can, if that's what they, I don't want to hear it, but if they do it, I can't. The
There's
only way
I
for me to stop it is
it.
To play better. Right.
Yes.
Like say
that's
something
all he
like
has to
that.
Say.
This is where. And I don't dislike Baker. I mean, I'm fine.
I don't
with
have
him.
A thing
I
against
think he's
Baker
tough.
Either.
Yeah,
I thought
I think
he played
tough.
Chris last year when they won 11 games to playoff. I thought he had a really good year last year.
Yep.
He did.
And he look, I still think he's got problems. Now, look, if I'm the Browns, Rob, I've told you, I'm kicking the tires on all these guys. Russ, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, if he's able to play. But I'm not like, oh, this guy can't be our quarterback. You know what I'm saying about Baker? Like, I think he could. He just hasn't fully convinced me that he's our franchise quarterback when other better players may be available. And that's all I'm saying. But I'm not down on him. But he, to your point, Rob, you do yourself no favors by going after the fans because the fact is they pay your salary.
Right.
They really do.
And then,
if they
and,
don't
and,
show
and,
up and right. And buy the merchandise and all that.
And they're not going anywhere,
you're not getting
Chris.
Paid.
The fans
right.
aren't going anywhere. Guys
right.
come and go, come through town, leave town. Don't fans, it's a losing proposition. I don't understand, guys. You could be frustrated. Just understand, do not take on the fans. It's just, you're going to lose long term.
I think you also, and look, his wife, we see her in the commercials. She seems sweet. You know, like she's looking out for her husband. So I get all that.
Right, but that.
But I do think, Rob, if you're in this position, you got to tell your loved ones, look, don't go at anybody on my behalf. I'll handle it.
Right.
You know,
stay out of it.
Because you just make it worse and it could put you, cast you in a bad light. You could start getting criticized, which you don't want. You know, it creates distractions,
you
all
remember
that.
Stafford's wife was throwing pretzels at people the other day.
But really, like, right, and look, and even in our position, I mean, we're not nearly as famous as these guys, but we have some degree of fame. But My wife's not on social media at all. And my girls aren't really into sports like that, so they don't get it. But if it were, if I had a loved one who was all into it and was going to want to be defending me, I'd be like, look, don't do it.
Right.
It just doesn't help me or you, you know? So that's what he's got to do. And I think she realized it. That's why she dropped the, you know, post, but still. All right. I couple, we out. Peace.